Hi everyone, and welcome back to the 19th video of the Old Testament Survey course. In this section, we're going to look at the book of Judges. And as usual, let's start with some background issues. I think the best description of the book of Judges is that it is Joshua's evil twin. In Joshua, we see faith and obedience, and the blessing and the success of the people of God inheriting and occupying the land. Then in Judges, we see rebellion and idolatry, and the punishment and tragedy that results from that. You might recall from an earlier section that the primary history of which Judges and Joshua are a part, it draws on Deuteronomistic theology in order to tell its story. Well, these two books, they show this on a large scale. Just as Joshua was a positive success story, Judges is a story of massive failure and unfaithfulness. And Israel pays the price. Judges is a depressing book, but it serves a necessary function for our faith. To serve as a warning, as well as to point us away from the futile hope of hoping in ourselves. And it points us to hope in God Himself and His plan. Now, in terms of the authorship of this book, it's technically anonymous. Some traditions suggest Samuel is the author, and there's other suggestions, but there's no way to know for sure. And the date of the writing is probably in the time of the early monarchy, just before or around the time of Saul and David. And Judges is characterized by some very interesting and exciting stories. This book is the stuff of great children's stories from the Bible because they're exciting. But at the same time, some of these stories have fairly adult content. Now let's look at the outline of this book. First, the introduction of the book. And this section stresses that the conquest is incomplete and God's people fall into idolatry with the remaining nations. And then the main central section has the stories of 12 judges. And most of them are patterned around a cycle that is introduced in the first section. First, the nation sins by idolatry. And as a result, God sends a nation to oppress them. Then the people cry out to God for relief and help. And God raises up a deliverer who rescues them. So the oppressor is defeated and the people have rest until the cycle starts again. And then the final section in Judges is not about an individual judge, but it tells stories that highlight Israel's apostasy and the need for a king. So now let's look at the content of this book, starting with some key verses. First is chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, which says, "The angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim, and said, I brought you up out of Egypt and led you into the land that I swore to give to your forefathers. I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall not make a covenant with the people of this land, but you shall break down their altars. Yet you have disobeyed me. Why have you done this? Now therefore I tell you, I will not drive them out before you. They will be thorns in your sides, and their gods will be a snare to you." In this message from God to Israel, he rehearsed his goodness and his commands that he'd done in the past, and he accused them of disobedience. And he said as a punishment for that, that the nations that they failed to conquer would turn and be their punishment. The next key verse, chapter 2, verses 10 through 19, which says, "After that whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation grew up, who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. When the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals, they forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshiped various gods of the peoples around them. They provoked the Lord to anger because they forsook him and served Baal and the Ashtoreths. In his anger against Israel, the Lord handed them over to raiders who plundered them. He sold them to their enemies all around, whom they were no longer able to resist. Whenever Israel went out to fight, the hand of the Lord was against them to defeat them, just as he had sworn to them. They were in great distress. Then the Lord raised up judges who saved them out of the hands of these raiders. Yet they would not listen to their judges, but prostituted themselves to other gods and worshiped them. Unlike their fathers, they quickly turned from the way in which their fathers had walked, the way of obedience to the Lord's commands. Whenever the Lord raised up a judge for them, he was with the judge and saved them out of the hands of their enemies as long as the judge lived, for the Lord had compassion on them as they groaned under those who oppressed and afflicted them. But when the judge died, the people returned to ways even more corrupt than those of their fathers, following other gods and serving and worshiping them. They refused to give up their evil practices and stubborn ways." You see in this longer passage the slide down of Israel from where they once were. And we see that God, just as he kept his promises to bless, he's also keeping his promises to punish. And this passage serves as an outline for the entire cycle of judges. It lays out fairly clearly the cycle that we just looked at. And each of the six items is described in this passage. And then in each of the individual judge stories that are going to come later, they're read in light of this summary paradigm. But we also see that God had compassion on his people, and he rescued them when they cried out. Now, the next key verse is a phrase that happens in multiple verses. And it says, "When they cried out to the Lord, he raised up for them a deliverer." And this, of course, tells how God gave them an individual called a judge to be the agent of their rescue. Because God is good and faithful, even when his people are not. Remember, the judge is not the hero of these stories. God is. Next is Judges chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. It says, "Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, 'This is what Yahweh, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I snatched you from the power of Egypt and from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them from before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am Yahweh your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But you have not listened to me.'" Now, in this passage, Israel is going around that cycle again. They're crying out to God because they're oppressed. But this time, before he saves them, God stops the cycle long enough to give them an earful. He rebukes them for their unfaithfulness, especially in light of all that he had done for them. And he reminded them that he is Yahweh, their God. So when they're chasing after other gods, not only is that just stupid, it's an affront to his holiness and his greatness. Next is chapter 8, verses 22 and 23. It says, the Israelites said to Gideon, rule over us, you, your son, and your grandson, because you have saved us out of the hand of Midian. But Gideon told them, I will not rule over you, nor will my son rule over you. Yahweh will rule over you. Now, this passage is pointing forward to the concept of monarchy. However, Gideon makes the point that he and his family will not rule over them. And the reason is that God is the true king over them. God is the king of Israel in a way that no human ever could be. Now, the other side of the issue of monarchy in the book of Judges, it comes in the next few key verses. Or the next key verse is a phrase that appears in a few passages. For instance, chapter 17, verse 6. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. Chapter 18, verse 1. In those days, Israel had no king. And chapter 21, verse 25. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. Now, this is a repeating refrain at key times, and it's kind of, you know, hey, you know, no king. This is bad. At key times where Israel is horribly failing, the author of Judges points out, maybe if they had a king, something would change. And the reason that everyone did as he saw fit is because they don't have a king, and it's turning out horribly. These then are some of the key ideas we see in Judges in the key verses. But now let's continue by working through each of the sections in just a little bit more detail. In the introductory section, Judges emphasizes that the conquest is incomplete and Israel should complete it. It starts out, they are fighting and gaining ground and completing it, but that peters off and stops pretty quickly. And then it mentions that Joshua's generation is gone. It repeats the idea from Joshua chapter 24, 31, that the people serve the Lord in Joshua's lifetime. And this sets up the contrast with the next generation who turned out to be idolaters. But the reason given why they did this is it said that they did not know what the Lord had done. Think about this. How did this happen in the span of one generation? Wasn't this a failure of their parents' generation, which did not pass on their faith to their children? And wasn't this also a failure of the Levites and their other leaders who did not teach them the way of the Lord like they were commanded? Now, of course, the generation that was idolaters, they're totally at fault. They did bad. But part of the blame was on the previous generation that did not lead them well. And this is a lesson that each of us needs to learn. Someone said that church is always only one generation away from extinction. And we need to realize the next generation matters. So please, do all that you can to serve the Lord in such a way that the next generation follows him. But in the case of the book of Judges, the next generation was unfaithful to the Lord and they went after other gods, which started that repeated cycle of the Judges around and around again. And that brings us to the main part of the book, where we see this cycle played out in 12 stories of 12 judges. Now, when we hear the word judge in our culture, we typically think of a person who makes decisions on legal issues. But the word judge is used in the book of Judges. It has a different meaning. When you see the word judge, think leader. Judge in the book of Judges basically means leader. Yes, they occasionally did make legal decisions, but that was part of their larger sphere of leadership. They were all around leaders, And in the book of Judges, they primarily led in military matters. And the central section of Judges then tells the story of the 12 judges of Israel. And there are major judges and there are minor judges. Now, this is just like the major and minor prophets, that these terms, they refer to the length of the judges' stories, not their significance. Some of the judges, their stories is told in just a few verses, one of them in one verse. And then some judges, their stories cover multiple chapters. And also notice from this map that the judges ruled in different places and in different tribes of Israel. Now, because the judges judged in different places in Israel, that actually opens up two possibilities when it comes to the chronology, the time frame of the book of Judges. One possibility is that these stories happened one after another. One judge rules and dies, one cycle, and then the next one happens after that. But it's also a possibility that some of the stories could have taken place at the same time in a different place, so that the stories would overlap in time. And the reason I bring this up is because this is what explains the two different possible dates of the Exodus. See, if the Judges' stories happened one after the other, Judges took a longer span of time, therefore the earlier date of Exodus is correct. But if the Judges' stories overlap, then the Judges took a shorter period of time, and then the later date is possible. Now, in all the judges whose story is long enough to see enough detail, we see that they do follow that cyclical pattern that we talked about earlier. But at the same time, each successive judge in each successive story gets worse and worse and worse. The stories go downhill as we go through the book of Judges. The first few judges, Othniel and Ehud, they're mostly positive, and they seem to be godly leaders. Then Gideon, who's about in the middle, he's kind of wishy-washy. He comes off, well, neither good or bad. Then Jephthah gets worse. And by the time we get to Samson, I mean, he's a sleaze. You would not want your son to grow up to be like Samson. Maybe strong, but not his character. You see, the cycle of judges illustrates the steady decline of Israel in this period. Now, let me just mention the stories of a few of the judges. One I like, it's only one verse, Shamgar, whose story is told in chapter 3, verse 31. We're told that he saved Israel with an ox goad. Now, an ox goad is just a pointed stick. The reason I like this story is because if someone saves Israel with a pointed stick, then you know that God was with him. I also want to mention the Gideon story. There's so much here. Let me just summarize. The story is told in such a way to make it plain that only God is responsible for the victory. And the punchline then is that only God is the king of Israel. And then finally, Samson. Yes, Samson was a sleaze, a woman chaser whose lust got him into trouble. Yet at the same time, he was specially called by God. But he seemed to resent it. And yet, God used him. And it turns out that Samson was the only one fighting God's wars. Samson was working to complete the conquest when no one else was. And when he got in trouble, the last resort, he was a man of prayer. And I think that the story of Samson shows how far Israel had fallen by contrast with Samson. If Samson the sleaze, the woman chaser idiot, if he was the best that Israel had to offer, what does this say about the rest of Israel at this time? They weren't even fighting God's wars. They were no longer completing the conquest. They were no longer even crying out to God when they were oppressed. See, we don't see the crying out in the Samson story. And in the middle of the Samson story, the tribe of Judah, who should have been leading Israel, they fight against Samson on the side of the Philistines. This is how low Israel had fallen in the cycle of judges. And then the last section of the book, just when you thought it couldn't get any worse, the last section contains two stories that show they've fallen even further. In the first story, the tribe of Dan, instead of taking their inheritance, they steal an idol and go to a different place. They turn into idolaters and they ambush an innocent city, which God had not given them. The entire tribe of Dan is now acting like the Canaanite nations who deserve to be dispossessed before them. They have fallen into complete anarchy through their idolatry. And in the last story, a Levite's concubine is killed and the tribe of Benjamin is almost completely wiped out. And as you were reading this, did you notice how similar the story is to the story of Sodom? This is how bad they have become. They're just like Sodom that God destroyed. And as a result, the tribe of Benjamin is on the verge of extinction. See, by the end of the book of Judges, Israel is as bad as the nations that Israel had conquered. What a tragic story. I told you it was depressing. But do you get the point in the story? Something needs to change. They need a king. Now let's take a look at the theological themes of Judges. The first theme is the cyclical pattern. And this pattern is textbook Deuteronomistic theology. When they follow idols, they are oppressed. When they cry out to God, he saves them. And the point is that his people should flee idolatry and avoid any compromise with these nations. Then the second theme is God's faithful rescue. God is and remains a powerful, compassionate, loving, faithful God who rescue those who don't deserve his rescue. He does it solely because of his gracious and compassionate nature. And by the way, we should take heart in this in our own life, but we should guard against presuming upon this. And we should also extend the same kind of grace to others. We should not automatically give up on people who have hurt us, but follow God's example of grace and forgiveness. And yet we see in the story, God's patience does have an end, and it's not to be trifled with. Then the third theme is the need to complete the conquest. The people stopped moving forward, and so they quickly fell back. They did not zealously pursue what God had called them to do. And they should not have let the momentum of their spiritual triumph and growth and moving forward stop. And the same goes for us. Whenever we get complacent and we make peace with those pockets of sin still in our life, no matter how small, they will always come back and haunt us. We can never stop growing. We can never stop moving forward. We can never stop pursuing the Lord, because the minute we stop, we begin dying. And the fact that they had trouble completing the conquest, it was a continuous problem for Israel. And we're going to see it come up in later books as well. And then the final theme in this book is the need for a king. Now, the fact that they were falling into idolatry and anarchy shows the need for a unifying leadership that will lead them in a better direction. Now, let me give a disclaimer. All the other nations, they had kings. So merely having a king is not enough. We'll see when we get to the books of Samuel and Kings that what really matters is the kind of king that they have. What direction the king is going to lead them in. But in the book of Judges, we saw the point is made that what was happening in the book of Judges was not working. Something needed to change. So the book of Judges serves to teach that Israel, left on their own, did not keep the covenant. They need a leader. They need a savior. Just being in the land is not enough. You know, they had God's law, they had God's blessing, they had their inheritance in the land, and yet they still failed. With every benefit, every blessing, and God regularly fighting on their behalf, they're still unfaithful. Something else is needed. They need a savior. So the book of Judges is a bit depressing, and it leaves us hanging with an unfinished story and an expectation there's got to be something more. Oh, I sure hope that subsequent books give answers to this problem, or else this is going to be a really depressing class. Well, wait for it. But for now, let's review the book of Judges. In terms of the organization of this book, what I would like you to remember is the cycle of Judges. And for this review, I have simplified it down to just four items, which is sin, oppression, crying out, and rescue. And you can use the word soccer to help you remember the cycle of Judges if that helps. And then the themes of the book of Judges. They are cyclical pattern, God's rescue, complete the conquest, and the need for a king. And you can use the word sugson. Oh, sorry, they don't all work out. Well, that is the survey of the book of Judges. In the next section, we'll look at the book of Ruth. Thanks for watching.